Bible. So Matthew 7 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read a verse that everyone quotes and most misunderstand. And read down to verse number 6. Judge not that you be not judged. That is the one verse every lost person knows when they don't like what you're about to say to them. But that's not the only verse in the Bible. It's not even the last verse. That's the first verse in the chapter. There's more to follow. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So really, the condemnation in this verse is not about judging, but the wrong judging. Because he's saying, don't judge unless you're ready to be judged by what you're judging. Don't be a hypocrite about this. And you can't deal with what's in their life when you got things in your life. Deal with what's in your life so you can see clearly about what's going on in their life. It doesn't say, the teaching here is not that we're not to judge people, but we're not to judge people wrongly or unbiblical or based on our preference or how we think. We always go back to the Word of God to make our judgments. And so we're going to talk this evening for a few minutes about this idea about judging by biblical principle. Let me give you a very famous statement. It's a great statement. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That is how we should be living. Unfortunately, some of those who supposedly love and praise Martin Luther King Jr. don't really live by that quote he's making. But he said, basically, the exterior doesn't matter. What matters is the interior, their character. That's what should determine a judgment. And maybe that's one of the best statements made by a man. Now, obviously, the best statements made by God. But by man, that may be one of the best statements made about dealing with people properly based on skin color. I'm going to use that to launch into a little bit of an explanation before I get into the application. Let me give you a couple of thoughts that will lead us to where we need to go. Hopefully, they'll lead us where we need to go. To discriminate means to recognize a distinction or differentiate. Now, I'm going to make some statements. Now, I need you to listen carefully because if taken out of context, it will not go well. I preached recently on a Sunday morning against bigotry and prejudice, and I haven't changed my mind about that, but I want you to notice what I'm going to say, because I think there's a misunderstanding because we just take words and not really think about what we're saying. So to discriminate means to recognize a distinction. We look at something and say, this is different than that. Prejudice or bigotry because of skin color that leads to discrimination is absolutely wrong. Okay, in no way are we supporting of it or condoning it or encouraging it. It's absolutely, positively wrong. No one, but especially no believer, should ever live that way. We should never look at people outwardly and say, well, you know, they're not like us. I don't think they should be in our church. Well, that's the problem is because it's our church and not his church. Well, if it's his church, the Lord's church, then yeah, they should be here. So prejudice or bigotry because of skin color that leads to discrimination is absolutely wrong. But, now watch this next statement and think about what I'm saying. But discrimination based on character, ability, or talent is appropriate and right. That's exactly what Martin Luther King Jr. was saying. He was saying, when they look at my children, I don't want them to look at their skin color. I want them to look at their character. In other words, judge them the right way. Discriminate against them the right way. If their character is not there, if their ability is not there, if there's something in them that's not right, okay, but don't just look outwardly, some outward skin color or something like that, slant of their eyes or the shape of their nose or how their hair is. Don't look at those things. That's bigotry and prejudice. That's wrong. And what we call this the word that's used a lot now is meritocracy. In other words, judge them based on their merits, based on their character and things like that. So opportunities and promotion should be based on one's merit, not one's race. So I'm going to add to this, and then we're going to try to turn it now back to the Bible in a second to have a little bit better understanding. So we're not discriminating based on outward characteristics. Okay? We're not talking about prejudice or bigotry. We're looking at someone and we're saying, okay, what kind of talent do you have? What kind of ability? What kind of character do you have? Because I'm going to choose certain people based on certain character. Now that is based on merit, and there's nothing wrong with that. Additionally, there are opportunities and limitations based on physical or mental handicaps. Let me show you a picture of a guy. It's a great guy. Nick Volchik, I think is how you say his last name. He is from Australia. We've looked at a couple of his videos when we had some teen things. He's a Christian guy, married, has, I think, 3 kids now. Just really loves the Lord, lives for the Lord, born with no arms, no legs. And this guy, he's done all kinds of things. He's a great person. Now watch, but I would not hire him to be a truck driver. You hate armless, legless people? No, he can't do it. You're discriminating. Yeah, I am. He's not able to do it. If I had him versus another guy who had arms and legs, I would pick the guy who has arms and legs. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just common sense. He can't do it. This guy can do it. That's the guy you choose. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no prejudice. There's no bigotry. But there is a, if you will, and I'm careful to use this word, there is a discrimination because you have to make a distinction. But the distinction is based on the merit or the character or the ability or in some ways that way. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's not prejudice or bigotry because of all those other things that we mentioned. Now, in addition, we have to consider opportunities and limitations based on biblical principles. I'm going to show you a couple of verses. Let me back up and show you with me. So we're saying to treat someone wrong based on skin color, slant of eyes, shape of nose, hair, height, weight, age, all those things, the things that like that, just because you don't like those type of people, that is wrong. To look at someone and say you have the character to do it, or you have the talent to do it, or you have the ability to do it, and so I'm choosing you. This person doesn't have the character, talent, or ability. I'm not going to choose them. You have the merit. If you went for a job and you had all of the right things they're looking for and someone else didn't, and they chose them just because they had big feet and they wanted people with big feet, would you kind of say, that's kind of weird? I know the job. I can do the job. Why aren't you choosing me? So there's a distinction that way. Now, in addition to that, this brings us where we're going now as a believer. So there are certain distinctions we're going to make just because that's what we do as far as we have the choice to make. But in addition to that, we have to look at the Word of God and make judgments based on what Scripture say. And it is going to cause us to, now watch this word, it's going to cause us to discriminate. It's going to cause us to make distinctions. That's called judging. We're going to have to make a judgment in some cases based on what the Bible says. It may have nothing to do with we're not being prejudiced or bigot. Okay, it may not even necessarily have to do with their ability or talent. It may have all to do with a biblical principle that we have to apply. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Now, I have a statement I want to make at the end of all this that brings us to the application, but I want to just take a moment and help us to think through this, that there's nothing wrong when you're making the right type of judgments the right way. Not bigotry, not prejudice, but just making the right distinctions, the right judgments based on the right way. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together, now he's talking to believers, with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, the way we apply this, maybe the most often, that's how I'm going to apply it this moment, is that the Bible forbids marriage between someone who's saved and someone who's lost. See, but they're in love. Doesn't matter. But they're like soulmates. Doesn't matter. Well, they're just like a perfect match. Doesn't matter. It breaks a Bible principle. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You're not supposed to be in the yoke together. And let me tell you, marriage is a yoke. And if you're not in a yoke with your spouse, that's probably not a very good marriage. You're working together to accomplish something. And so, now I have to make a distinction. I have to make a judgment. I have to, again, air quotes, discriminate and say, so if someone comes before me and one is saved and one is lost, I'm going to say, I cannot do that wedding because it violates Scripture. Well, you hate lost people. No, I love the Bible and need to obey the Bible. Well, you hate these people. No, I don't hate these people, but I have to do what the Bible says. And so, they both have to be saved. Let me show you another one. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So, there's a judgment there based on Scripture. I'm making a distinction. I'm differentiating in this case because, okay, if you both were saved, I would marry you, but you're not both saved, so I'm not going to marry you. I'm, in that way, making a distinction. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I'm going slow through this because we are pounded by the world that we cannot ever make a distinction. Anytime you make a distinction, you're discriminating. Yeah, that is true. But then they say if anytime you're discriminating, you're being prejudiced or bigotry. And that is not true. We all discriminate. When you go to Mitchell's, anyone ever go to Mitchell's ice cream? Okay, good. When you go to Mitchell's and they have like 10,000 flavors and you're taking time to taste every one of them, because at the end of 10,000 flavors, you don't want any more because I've had 10,000 flavors, so I go home. But anyways, when you're looking, you're... That kind of does taste like coffee, but I don't think so. Banana cream pie, yeah, I can taste the banana cream. No, that's why I don't want that either. And you keep... What are you doing? You're you're tasting ice cream. But really, are you not discriminating? Because if you end up getting... which is one of my favorite, the key lime pie ice cream. Oh, that stuff's good. And you don't get, which is another one of my favorites, which is the coffee chocolate chunk. I think is what it is, which is another good one. If you skip the coffee chocolate chunk, the most response I ever get in any of my, I think, Bible studies when I start talking about ice cream, everyone now is involved. So if you don't eat the coffee chocolate chunk, but you eat the key lime pie, You discriminate against the other ice cream. You made a distinction. Okay, but there's nothing wrong with that. We understand, that's how, but if we apply this in a broad way to our life, this is how we live. We look at circumstances, we look at the Bible, and we make some decisions, some judgments based on it. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 2. A bishop, that's another name for a pastor, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of, what's the next two words? One wife. Well, that gives us two teachings about a pastor. Number one, he must be a man. Husband. Number two, he's not supposed to be divorced. One wife. People say, well, you're mistreating women. You won't let them pastor. If you got a problem, if you want women to pastor, go take it up with the Lord. He said husband of one wife. Well, you know, that was written 2,000 years ago and times were different. It was written 2,000 years ago. Actually, it was written before the earth began because forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There never was a time. There wasn't God because, it wasn't the word of God because the word of God is the manifestation of the will of God and God's always existed. Therefore, his will has existed. Therefore, his word has always existed. But that's another teaching. And so the word of God has always existed. This always has been the mind of Christ. This is always what God has wanted. And even though times change, God does not. And so God's will does not change. And it is God's will that a pastor is a man and an undivorced man. And so that is, we have to make a distinction. So if you have two people, you have this guy, you say, okay, here's a guy, he make a great pastor. And here's a woman, man, she really knows the Bible, she's a great speaker. Who should be our pastor? Really, is that a question? No, it's not. I'm going to discriminate and make a distinction. It's going to be the man. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches. And so we have to make biblical judgments this way. We judge not based on how I feel, what I think, what I taught, what I want, but what does the Bible say? And so we make some judgment, discrimination, distinction based on biblical principle. Now, let me give you the summation of this introduction and then get to the application. In essence, we do not treat everyone equally. That is a shock to most people. You don't believe in equal treatment? No, I do not. If I believe in equal treatment, I have to throw out the Bible because the Bible tells me to make distinctions. Rather, now watch, here's what we believe based on the Bible. Yet rather we believe, okay, we apply principles equally to everyone. And those principles determine how we treat them. I believe in applying the principles equally to everyone, but equal application of principles will be an unequal outcome. Because let's go back to pastoring. Here's a man, here's a woman. There's not going to be equal treatment here. The woman is never going to get a chance because it's a husband of one wife. Well, it just seems unfair. Maybe it is. Don't seem right. Well, I'd have a hard time saying God's not doing something that's right. It may be unfair, but it's what God has said. Here's the saved person. Here's the lost person. They want to get married, and I refuse to do the wedding. Well, I mean, there's a gazillion people out there who do it, but let's just say they, for some reason they really want me to do it. And I refuse to do the wedding. But here's someone else, and I do their wedding. Well, you didn't treat us like you treated them. You're right, I didn't, because they're both saved, and you're both aren't saved. But I applied the same principle to both. That is how we do it. We take the same principle, and we look at in this situation, and we apply the principle. We go over in this situation, and we apply the principle. It may come to a different outcome, but that's because we're applying the principle, and the principles determine the outcome. Not a preference. I'm not trying to be pragmatic and make the outcome what I want it to be. I'm simply applying the principle and let the principle determine the outcome. So some principles will require different treatment of different people. And if I have not made that clear in all my examples, then I'm sorry, but I've tried to make that clear when I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about being bigoted, not talking about being prejudiced, I'm not talking about not liking certain types of people. I'm talking about taking a biblical principle and applying it to a situation and let the principle decide what to do. And sometimes it means there will be a different treatment based on that principle. So what does this now mean for us? How can we apply it? So I'm going to give you some places in the Bible to help us understand how to think a little bit more along this way. So go with me to John chapter 7. Because you're going to have to do some things in your family that's going to be contrary to what the world thinks. I mean, their head's going to explode because you're not going along with, you know, what Oprah's saying. But Oprah said, I mean, I heard Oprah say this. Well, who really cares what Oprah has to say? What does the Bible say? That's what we should be thinking about. So John chapter 7, look with me in verse 21. John 7, verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses shall not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? They are judging him. They're judging him wrong. And notice the outcome, verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The appearance there means the outcome you want, how you feel about it, the way you understand it. Instead, it's saying, no, go to the Word of God and make a righteous judgment, because He uses the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, to show them that they're not making a righteous judgment. So Jesus was being judged based on religious or societal thinking. Jesus instead insisted that he should be judged based on what was right according to the Bible. Often, when we do what is right biblically, now watch, when we do what is right biblically, that will not align with what the world thinks is right. If you're going to, however you're going to run your home, if you're going to let what they said on TV and what you see on social media and what your neighbors are telling you, if that is going to be the overriding way your home works, it's not going to go according to the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying everything we do, everyone hates, but there are going to be some things that we do that people aren't going to like. How do I know? That's how I know. Okay, I know this. Doing right, the world isn't always happy about. And so, we are to make righteous judgments. We are to make righteous judgments. Now, here's why I'm saying that. To make a righteous judgment requires the making of a judgment. Well, you know, Pastor White, I'm just not going to judge at all. Then you're not going to make righteous judgments. Now watch what I'm saying. I'm kind of saying this tongue in cheek, just to try to provoke maybe someone who's watching right now and their head's exploding. I am telling you to go out into your life and judge people. But judge them based on the Bible. Not how you feel, what you think, or what you like. Judge them based on the Word of God. That's what Jesus is basically saying. Judge, if you're going to judge me, Jesus didn't have a problem with them judging them. The problem was they were not judging them right. Okay, when you have a problem with how Jesus is living your life, you might think there's a problem with the way you're judging, right? Because there's nothing wrong with how Jesus was living. And so, he said, no, judge me according to the Bible. It is biblical to judge as long as the judgment is according to the Bible. Biblical judgment means we're judging based on the Bible. Hence, we call it biblical judgment. The condemnation in Matthew 7 wasn't in judging, but in a judging that was unbiblical. It's amazing, especially on social media posts. Anytime you say something, like you say, well, the Bible says blah, 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 every lost person quotes the same verse. Judge not you, that you be not judged. Okay, they don't understand the Bible. And probably if you spend this much in your Facebook post trying to explain it to them, it probably won't help because they're just being cantankerous. So, we are to judge biblically. This was the case in Jesus' response. Think about this. This was the case in Jesus' response to a woman caught in adultery. People say, well, he didn't judge her. Well, it wasn't his place to judge her because they were bringing her to him, but they weren't doing it right, and so he had no reason to judge her. Go with me. Let me show you what I mean. Go with me to John chapter 8, which should be very close to John chapter 7. Look with me in verse 4. They say to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And not to be crass at all, but just to say that if she was caught in the very act, then they caught more than just her. She's not the only one they caught, if she was caught in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I like that. He's just not even paying attention. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to him, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. See, it says this, that if unless I have no sin at all, I can't ever identify sin in you. That's not what he's saying. Read the whole story. He said, he that was without sin, cast the first stone. What did they say to her, to him? We've caught this woman in the very act. And this is what Moses said in the law. And basically what he's saying is, okay, then do it. If that's what the Bible says, pick up the stone and go at it. But that's not what the Bible said. They were making an unbiblical judgment. How do I know that? Well, let's go back to the Bible and look at what the Bible says. Look with me in Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Because this is another common verse that people use. You know, Jesus said, he that sin, cast the first stone. As if you have to be 100% sinless before you can ever make a judgment. Well, that if that's true, then only God can judge. And then we can't judge a righteous judgment, which God tells us to judge a righteous judgment. So it doesn't work that way. Leviticus 20, look at verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what Moses commanded. So when he said, basically, if you've done it like it should be done, then go at it. And notice from the oldest to the youngest. And start with the oldest, probably those who really knew what the Bible said. And they're like, oh, yeah, we didn't do it right, did we? And they start walking away. And he says, woman, where are thine accusers? He said, basically said they all took off. And he said, well, neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. Say, well, why did he do that? Because the Bible says there has to be at least two witnesses. He didn't witness it. And the ones who supposedly witnessed it had left. So he made a biblical judgment. Based on the law of God, he said, well, stop doing what you're doing. Start living right. I'm not one of the witnesses. And the witnesses left. They didn't do it according to the Bible. And that's what happened. So we are to make righteous judgments based on the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with judging as long as we're judging according as the Bible tells us to judge that situation. Let me show you the number, big number two. Go with me to Romans 16. So when we make decisions in our home, when we make these judgments, we can't go by what's popular or what we want, our preferences. We have to go by what the Bible says. We make a biblical judgment. Romans 16. We've kind of already hit this. I just want to now put it into a specific point to give you some things to write down. Romans 16, look with me in verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, so we're talking about believers, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Now watch this, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So Paul, as he closes out this letter to the Romans, he says, now, these people who aren't doing right, mark them, notice them. I identify them based on, make a judgment here. And then you need to treat them based on that judgment. So number two is this. Judging biblically will determine how we treat others. In other words, it will have an outcome. It is proper to compare someone's lifestyle to what the Bible teaches and make a judgment about them. A lifestyle that violates the Bible is to be deemed wrong regardless of how else we may feel about them. So let me give you probably the obvious statement about this. Homosexuality is a sin. Those who commit that are committing sin. I have every right, biblically, to say this is wrong behavior and I'm not going to go along with it and wink at it and be okay. It's not right behavior. Okay? But watch this. And the same thing is true if there's two people living together and not married. They're both sins of fornication. We tend to go along with one more than go to the other, but they're both violating Scripture. So if two guys, so let's say I have a relative that is homosexual. And he wants to bring his homosexual boyfriend with him and they want to spend the night at my house. Here's my answer. No. I don't agree with that lifestyle. I'm not saying you can never come and visit me, but I don't agree with that lifestyle. And you're not going to practice that lifestyle in my house. Same thing is true if I had a relative who was whether she's a girl, had a boyfriend, or a boy relative had a girlfriend, and they're shacked up together, and they want to come to my house, and they're coming from out of town, they want to spend some time, hey, I want to spend some time with you, and they want to spend the night at my house. You're not spending my house if you're unmarried and sleeping together. That's wrong. I'm not going to be okay with it. We've been together for 5 years. Every night we're sleeping together. But not this night at my house you're not sleeping together. Why? Because this is wrong lifestyle. And I'm going to make a biblical judgment about it. Now, it might upset my relative. But I'd rather upset my relative than upset my Savior. And so I'm going to make a biblical judgment. I'm going to treat them based on how the Bible determines I'm supposed to treat them. I'm not going to be hateful and unkind, but I am going to try to be biblical about it, which may be unkind to them, but still I'm going to do what the Bible says. Now, how we treat them may vary based on other circumstances that are involved. There's, in any type one circumstance, there can be multiple principles involved, and we have to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. Lord, I don't know exactly what to do. There's multiple principles here. Which principle takes priority? How do I do this? And that's why we pray for wisdom. We don't pray for wisdom so all of a sudden we're a math whiz. We pray for wisdom so we can take the Word of God and apply it properly and appropriately to life situations. So we ask for wisdom. But we have to decide, based on our understanding, based on the Word of God, how we're supposed to treat them. But the fact we are to make a judgment and respond accordingly is clearly biblical. 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Let me just show you a couple situations like that. 2 John chapter 1, look at verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. This is an old one, but I remember even my pastor Darnell talking about this years ago. If I'm home and some Jehovah's Witness comes knocking on the door, he's not coming in my house. I'm not going to spend a lot of time debating this guy. I'm just going to say, no, I'm a born-again believer, and Jesus Christ is my Savior. If I get a chance to witness, I would try to give him a gospel witness, but I'm not going to sit there and just get in a long, long argument with the guy. You can if you want to, but at the end of whatever this discussion is, I'm not going to say, God bless you. I don't want God to bless them. I don't want them to be successful. I don't want them to do well. I want them to be so discouraged they go home and never talk to anyone again about their false doctrine. Now, why? Because that's what the Bible says. We're not going to bid him Godspeed. Well, that might be unkind. You know, I'm probably going to be a little unkind to come knock on my door. I'm not going to cuss them. I'm not going to, yell and scream at them. But I am going to give them as much as I can, kind of a attitude that might discourage them, because I don't want them to keep going door to door. They have the freedom to. I understand that, but I'd like for them to just pack up their stuff up and go home. Psalms 119. Let me hasten a little bit. 127. Psalms 119, 127. This is just a general statement, but I think it applies here. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. So I put God's word above all things. His word is right about all things. So we are to make righteous judgments. We are judging biblically. We're determining how we treat them, because we're going to have to treat them a certain way based on what the Bible says. Let me give you a third aspect of this. Go with me to Luke chapter 6, if you will. Because the question may be, well, that's all right. Does it really matter? I mean, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The world, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Anyone know who that said? Yes, Doris Day. Thank you. That makes me, because I usually ask, and then everyone says, no, I don't know. So I ask you, make you answer me, so you don't make me look like I'm stupid. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation of rock. Now, watch this next part. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built his house upon the earth, against which the stream... It's the same idea that whenever this occurs, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. But notice it has a implied time period here, some passing of time, and when the flood arose. In other words, the house is built solid on the foundation, and some period of time after that, this flood arises and beats against this house, but the house stands. For the other house, some period of time passes, the water comes and wipes out the house. So number three is this. Judgments have long-term consequences. What doesn't happen because we make a big old judgment is hard to identify. If I do what's right, certain things aren't going to happen because I'm doing what's right. But it's hard to identify those things because they don't happen. And you can't really prove the negative that way. You can only prove the positive, what does happen. So, but I'm telling you that if doing right causes certain things not to occur, but you can't always know what those are because they're not occurring. That's why we apply the Bible by faith. We believe that God protects us based on His Word, what He's promised to do, even if we don't see it. Yet what does happen, we can identify. What does happen because we make an unbiblical judgment can be identified. So here's this house built on this rock. The water comes, the house stands, everything goes on, and everyone says, well, you know, must not have been a very big storm. You could give 100 different reasons. Maybe it was a good foundation, whatever. The house stood. It's hard to prove that anything. But when you look at this house over here that falls down flat, you can say, well, there's a problem with how it was built. How do I know that? Because I see what happened. And so part of what the Lord is teaching is that there are certain consequences to how we build our life, how the judgments we make in the building of that life. So just like it was evident the house without a foundation fell in the storm, so is it evident when our lives are not built on biblical principle, making judgments by these biblical principles. So let me see if I can explain it this way. Whether we judge biblically may not seem to matter today, but it will matter someday. And this is maybe the most difficult part here. Because it's so easy to do what you want to do right now. But sometimes you got to say, I'm not going to do that because it's not right to do. I'm going to do this, but it's so hard to do, but it's the right thing to do. And you trust the Lord in the outcome of those things. And that can be very difficult in your house at times. So whether we judge biblically may not seem to matter today, but it will matter someday. That judgment that you make today could be the difference between God's blessing or God's curse on us and our family. If I can say this, I'll be a little transparent. Not everything has turned out the way I want things to turn out in my life, my family, my life. But I think it's important when I go to bed and I close my eyes to know that in any case, I'm not saying I've done everything perfect. No one else is saying that either. Okay, I'm not saying I've done everything perfect. But I am saying at the moment I had to make a judgment, it was always trying to do it the Bible way. Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I didn't see it exactly right. Maybe my judgment was off. Maybe the principle I used wasn't always the right principle. But I never said, okay, what do I want to do? It was always, what does the Bible say? Did I always get it right? No. But I can go to bed saying, Lord, forgive me for the times I blew it, but it was in my heart to do it your way. I think that's important. It's terrible to go to bed at night and think back all the bad decisions you make. And just live there, just lay there and beat yourself up again and again. That's not how you want to go to bed at night. It is unwise to judge pragmatically, trying to control the outcome. And we try to move things the way we want them. It's best to do it It is wise to judge by principle. I'm trying to hurry here. It is wise to judge by principle and allow God to decide the outcome. Now, understandably, there are some principles that promote prudence, which is somewhat pragmatic. And if the principle has prudence in it, then you do what the principle says, which is somewhat pragmatic. But we're not doing it just pragmatically, we're doing it principally, if that makes sense to you. So it's wise to judge by principle and allow God to decide the outcome. So when we're thinking of our Christian homes, we are trying to judge by principle. Regardless of how hard it is, how difficult it is, sometimes it's gut-wrenching to do it. I have siblings. There's six of us. There's four and two. The two don't talk to the other four. I'm one of the four who talk to each other. Not one of the two who don't talk to us. The reason these two don't talk to the rest of us four, mainly, to be honest, my fault, really. I kind of got the ball rolling. And because one of the two, my mom called me and said, your sibling is doing X, taking advantage of my mom. I called my sibling and said, stop it. Well, my mom said, I don't care. No, stop it. Don't do it anymore. They got mad at me. They don't talk to me anymore. I'm no longer am I a Christian, a preacher, no longer am I even a human being because I didn't go along with her. Does that bother me? Yeah, it bothers me because it's my sibling. But it's the right thing to do. And so we have to do what's right, even sometimes when it's very hard to do it. So this understanding of biblical judgment is important as we deal with societal issues in our family. And by that I mean this. This is some examples. The issues of authority in the home, gender identification, and homosexuality. Those are probably the three big ones that the society pushes. Should all be decided by biblical principle and not current societal norms. That's how we apply. That's how we judge based on what the Bible says. All right. Let's have a word of prayer.